This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions, 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Looks like we're all here.
All four.
Amazing, here's the gang's all here.
A little chilly out there today.
Yeah, it was a little cold.
You said it was 38?
38 in Poway, right.
I don't think it was that cold in Scripps Ranch, but I would believe it.
I'll bet it was colder at my house. But I don't have a thermometer.
So you can't prove it, so it's not worth me taking the bet.
All right, I don't take the bet.
Okay.
It was beautiful out there.
Crystal clear, gorgeous morning.
Crystal clear.
You don't have a temporal scanner thermometer? You just carry with you?
Yeah, but when I show it to space, it says low.
Low, yes.
It doesn't give me an accurate reading. But it was very, very nice out.
Yeah, so the weather's been very nice. A little bit windy. I've got a ton of crud in the pool that I'm going to have to get out of it. Well,
Blake.
Either that or I wait until Wednesday till the pool guy comes.
That's what I figured was going to happen. You wait till Wednesday.
Although I have to admit, getting rid of the Coleoterra in the backyard was one of the greatest things that I ever did.
Best decision you've made in a long time.
But there are more. There are more coming up somewhere in that yard.
Oh, yeah. But I remember it was a few years ago before I had the Coleoterra taken out. We had a really big Santa Ana come through. And
everything landed in the pool.
3 33-gallon trash cans full of Coleoterra foliage that blew off. And I have you seen how much Coleoterra seed is blown across the parking lot?
Yes, when I drove in, it was crunching under the tires.
It's all over the place.
Well, Coleoterras were surrounding my folks' pools, and my dad said, you know, any tree that grows should be allowed to grow, and I, of all people, should appreciate
that,
and respect
right.
that. And
but
it
he
was
made
my,
you clean it.
No. This is recent.
Oh,
I mean, this is
okay,
in the last 5 to 10 years. They volunteered and came up everywhere, and we let them grow. But it was my mom who had to clean them off of the pool blanket and do all of that stuff. And they're finally gone now. But my dad's position was, that's what the filter's for. Yeah, I know. Coleoterra, no. Anyway.
It's a pretty tree.
I think it's a very handsome tree.
Yeah, in the right situation.
It's somebody else's yard.
Well, it'll be in yours if somebody else near you has one in some way.
It's going to be in yours if somebody's within a mile.
Exactly. Especially if the wind blows.
When I bought my house in PQ, there was a cherimoya, and there was a Coleoterra growing right next to it. I'm thinking, why did these previous owners plant this so close together? And then I learned about the tree and realized they didn't plant it there. They were everywhere.
My house came with some Coleoterras, and I did not remove them immediately, and now they're volunteering my neighbor's yard and bothering me. So I know they look good in the fall with their color. We should have included that in your fall color chart.
He did. Well, we talked about it.
We mentioned it on
the
show.
Oh, did we? Yeah. You listen to the show?
I listen to what people say when they talk to me or when they're,
oh, that's
when
very,
they're talking.
Very,
I listen.
Yeah, me too.
it's a good tree. It's pretty. It does have some nice fall foliage. It's carefree, but it is a little
nice color when it's in bloom.
Yeah, it's a little messy, and it does
a little. Messy.
Well, those are all. That's all good organic mulch for your garden, except for the seeds that turn into
trees
everywhere
in your garden. Yeah,
I did learn one very positive thing about that. When you mow the seedlings over in the lawn, if you get to them when they're, well, if you mow them over, it's at a height that they don't sprout out underneath, which is good.
So you're only mowing them in the lawn, but not mowing them anywhere else.
Yeah. Okay. It's hard to mow up the bank.
I was wondering why you were so specific to mowing them in the
lawn.
Well,
because I was thinking that you'd chop the top off and it'll branch out and you'll end up with a trunk
in
the lawn, but there weren't any latent or dormant buds under there, so that it just croaks them.
And that is good for the lawn, but, you know, in your flower bed, your vegetable garden, behind the azalea bush or something, there. Yeah.
Over the fence and right. by my woods. Citrus.
Or containers. I mean, they'll sprout anywhere.
Oh, everywhere.
Yeah, we get
I've had them sprout in a bucket. I mean, a pot that I had. It's like coming out. I can't remember what was in there. It was some vegetable of some sort, but all of a sudden I got one in there.
I had one in that circular planter that's in the backyard. I had a pretty good sized one in there. Well, I guess it was 20 years ago now, and borers croaked it. I mean,
really?
Yeah. Wow!
Can I borrow some?
If I still had the tree, sure, I'd let you do that. Okay. But I had to take it out because it died. But the one that caused all the problems in the Santa Ana, that was a seedling from the one that was in the planter. Because I never planted the tree. It just came up on its own.
I have a little seedling. Well, we have them coming up in the soil pile at the nursery too. I mean, they volunteer anywhere. But I have a little citrus tree in a pot, and I was looking at. I thought I had a multi. I had thought Something I had a couple else. Of seedlings yeah. in there, and this one was getting bigger. And yesterday, I went over and looked at it, and it was a volunteer queen undulata, Pittosporum undulatum.
Where'd that come from?
Yeah, I was gonna say you don't see those
neighbors' okay. yard.
Yeah,
I mean, We keep saying the Colruteria, though, but for comment for folks, what is that tree?
Colruteria?
Yeah. Because right, we're...
Chinese flame?
Chinese flame, okay. right?
Yeah.
And we're... And
Chinese
China
flame
is
or
so
Chinese
much...
lantern?
Flame.
I think it's flame.
It is flame, yeah.
And we're reading so much about invasive things of China in the news these days.
Well, so maybe this was a plant.
This is part of the same thing.
Those little seed pods, when they're hanging from the branches, are pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, until they're on the ground, in the gutters, on the roof, and volunteering everywhere.
Right.
Okay, so I think we can all agree, since we're all here, it's a very pretty tree.
With some issues.
With an asterisk next to it.
That's right.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
Well, I think pretty much any deciduous tree has got some issues for me. I mean,
Well, you don't like leaves?
Well, no, it's not that I don't like leaves, but, you know, in this day and age, when you can't have anything go into the storm drain, it amazes me how many places have deciduous trees in parking lots and street trees and things like that. I mean, that's the last place that you would want those.
What we need is a law limiting the trees. You back off from that right now, mister. You brought the whole thing up. Stop it.
Authorized tree list.
Okay. How many of you guys lost power this week?
Not me. Yes. To my knowledge, I did.
You did?
Well, Capri did.
Yeah. But you guys live in civilized portions?
Oh, yeah.
I live in a zip code where a lot of insurance companies won't even write homeowners insurance.
But you have
anymore.
Power.
But I had power.
I have insurance. I didn't have power.
Were you? Yeah. How close was those
fires? We had
fires
a generator.
That fire actually was, I don't know, 1 to 2 miles away as the crow flies, but there was a golf course between us, and it was blowing the other direction.
Oh, okay.
I was just dozing off when the emergency alert went off on my phone, and it scared the heck out of me. But I'd been watching its progress on the CHP weblog, so I knew wasn't a threat to me until the alarm went off. And then I went and made sure, and it was going away. But it was spooky. And there was one helicopter doing drops.
Well, yeah. It was nighttime.
And it was... Yeah, it was nighttime, and the wind
that.
Was...
I saw that on the news, that nighttime...
The wind was...
Yeah, because remember, during the Cedar Fire, they wouldn't fly at night.
Right.
And I think he was going over to Steel Canyon Golf Course and sucking water out of the lake there, and then going and doing drops. But the wind was howling, and I was parked way away, and it was shaking my car. But anyway, we got power back on, and leaving the freezer closed... Things stay frozen. A full frozen freezer stays frozen with no power.
CDC says 24 to 48 hours, according to CDC.
Even the little bit of frost on top was still frozen 20 hours later, 19 hours later.
You have a very good freezer.
Yes.
Refrigerators, not so much. Refrigerator is 4 hours, so we had that generator running a lot.
Well, but 19 hours later, the refrigerator, when I got home, the power came on an hour after like 5 or 10 minutes after I got home. And the fridge was at 45 degrees. Not great, but that's not bad for 19 hours. I stayed out of it.
Right.
And I froze water at the nursery to take home to put in my fridge in case they kept it off until Sunday at 6 like they were
Yeah.
Telling us.
Threatening? I mean, proposing?
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine that lives below Lake Dixon and Escondido, and her power went off on Thursday, and she said they weren't going to have, they weren't expecting power to be back on until Sunday.
Sunday at 6 is what they're saying.
Yeah, so everyone was surprised and happy that it came on yesterday.
Under promise, over deliver.
Right.
So, we're not going to have it till Saturday or Sunday, and it came back on Friday. Yes, thank you so much.
Again, it's not so bad.
Another story, another discussion for another time.
For another time. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. I don't know if you guys got them down in San Diego or not, but we got a ton of banana plants.
Bananas?
Bananas. No. 5-gallon bananas. Yeah.
How do they look good?
They're a little weathery, but
they look good, but they're small, but they look great.
Even when we got bananas in the spring or summertime, they were small. I mean, most of the varieties we got last
time. Somebody going to say I ain't falling for no banana in the tailpipe?
Nope.
Well, we were going to wait for you.
Okay, we knew that
you were going to get there.
What varieties? Mixed or?
Yeah, there were four or five varieties that they had.
Well, it's funny because somebody just asked me for bananas, and I said, I probably can't get them right now.
No, we don't want to get them now. It's going to be cold.
Yeah, right. We got them tucked up against the building under the eaves.
On the south side.
At the back wall.
South side to keep the frost off of them. Not that we've had any frost yet.
But it's been cold.
You did?
Two weeks ago.
It hasn't been that cold.
It was spotty and it was brief, but my Bermuda on the lower half has gone dormant, and there was
my back lawn a couple of weeks ago. Has been going. About the only thing that's green in my back lawn is
the weeds.
The weeds, yeah, and the dichondra, which I have no idea where the dichondra came from.
You know what else is green in that area right next to my dormant lawn?
Moss. I have no idea.
Onions.
Oh, but
are doing quite well.
Yeah, ours are as well. Potatoes are doing well.
And the peas that the rabbits haven't eaten are doing quite well. But the ones that they have eaten, I can't even tell they're there.
Talking about rabbits, we butt up to a green belt behind the green belt. It's a bank behind the house. We used to have rabbits in the yard all the time. I haven't seen a rabbit in my yard for probably a year.
Have you seen more coyotes?
No, haven't seen more coyotes. But I had read that there was a virus that was going through rabbit populations.
Oh, could I borrow a?
If you find a carcass,
yeah. Can you find me a carcass?
I don't know.
Petri dish with some agar. He needs to borrow that as well.
Nah, just give me the carcass.
But I have not seen a rabbit in my yard for.
I have plenty.
Probably a year.
Wow.
It's because I have too many fruit trees for the coyotes to eat the easy fruit. They don't
to hunt.
They don't hunt for
the
rabbits.
Hunt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why run when you can eat the fruit?
That's right. The low-hanging fruit or high-hanging.
If you've got hind legs, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you're in an area that's relatively frost-free and you want to plant a banana, we've got a pretty good selection.
Or just get a cover.
Well, yeah, that's true. You could just throw a sheet over it.
My neighbors have umbrellas over their bananas, over their avocados. First it was for the sun, now it's for the cold. I think they stole that from my dad's playbook. But
put in a
beach umbrella.
A beach umbrella?
Yeah. I should have
looked. I never even thought about that.
Those beach umbrellas probably are gone now. The wind probably
carries
them away.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me.
No, it.
Well, they beat up our umbrellas over by the trains.
Yes, they did.
In Poway. That wind was significant up there.
Yeah, and the stuff's falling all over the place, trying to keep the Christmas trees, the living Christmas trees upright.
Yeah.
Those things are heavy.
My God. Yes, they are very, very heavy.
Thank goodness I have people to help me load them in the car.
Absolutely. load them up for you.
To deliver them.
Yeah. Whoosh. Well... I told you, we meet in the parking lot.
Yeah.
It's like a big deal. Oh, I got the tree. You got the stuff? Yeah. But six of them so far. And there's another one waiting for
you've
for
had
next
to
week.
Deliver six of them out to Hamul. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's right on my way home. I mean, it's not like...
Oh, I got it.
And they come to Brody's, so I don't, have to drive out.
Buy a drink, do they?
Oh. Why didn't I think of that?
Well, we can talk about that when we get back. We need to take a break here on Garden Talk. You're listening to us on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. Larry, stay on the line. We're going to talk to you when we come back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it all right now.
And we're back well. With more Garden Talk here on AM
1170.
Thank you. KCBQ and KPRZ. What were we talking about?
We're going to talk to Larry.
We're going to talk to Larry.
Just a sec.
We were talking about putting way too heavy Monterey pines in the back of my car and driving them out to Hamul on my way home to Spring Valley across the street from Hummel.
That's it.
The real thing is, why are you delivering trees
okay,
to people?
So we have the most gorgeous Monterey pine living Christmas trees that we've had in years.
Oh, absolutely.
And on top of that, they are the best priced, largest Monterey pines we've had in years. And I posted on the Hummel Facebook page, which they have graciously let me in because I'm only a block away.
Well, you are an idiot.
And he means that in the nicest way.
I brought this upon myself.
You
absolutely.
Did?
Okay. I'm not complaining about it.
I thought, okay.
It's right on my way home. So I said, if anybody wants one of these trees and doesn't want to, drive to the nursery, because San Diego from the edge of Hummel, from Steel Canyon and Campbell Road, the nursery without traffic in Point Loma is about 20 minutes away. It's not far, 25, without traffic. And Poway is 40 minutes away. So I said I'd bring them by, and I'll meet you in the parking lot. It's like this drug deal going down in the parking
clandestine
lot.
Clandestine ops.
Yes, right. Clandestine ops. Thank you. Yes. Better way of phrasing it. But anyway, so I've had six trees of people available.
I mean, that's very nice. That's way nice of you, because that's not easy to do.
Well, that's why I have the guys at the
nursery. Well, no, I understand that, but those things are heavy.
And I appreciate the recognition of me being an idiot. I mean,
everybody
knows it. Nobody, everybody says it out loud, but I do appreciate it. No, it's
actually
very...
more people say it than you think.
It's all over the internet if you look. Yeah.
Anyway, it's very simple, and it's right on the way home, so I do it. I can only do one. I've been doing two, putting two trees in the car, which might be excessive. I think one is better, and I can see better.
So, I did offer you my truck.
Yes, you did.
And you could just make that a lot easier.
Yes, you did.
And you could just deliver four or five at once.
No, this is perfect. One is fine. One and done. And anyway, so that's still out there.
Nice. I didn't know you were on the
for Hamulians or Hamuligans. Well, it just seemed like the right thing to do.
Very good. Okay. You are a better man than me.
Gunga Din.
I thought it was I.
All right.
Anyway. Whatever.
Let's go to Larry.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go up to Oceanside where Larry is waiting. Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Hey, guys. Just to let you know, even though a lot of people don't call in, I know a lot of people still listen. It's just tough to get up in the morning here and take the gloves off and dial the phone.
Tell me about it.
But I got three quick questions, and I got a navel orange tree down in my, it always produced great, but it doesn't get a lot of love, but it just keeps, producing. But this year, the oranges are splitting. You know, they went from the green to the orange, and then they just split. What causes that?
Getting too dry between waterings, especially in hot weather. When we had that heat wave that came through, they probably got a little bit drier than they normally would, and then when they get water, the trees will actually soak the water up faster than the rind can grow around it, and it just hydraulically splits them. And navel oranges are notorious for doing that anyway, because the navel is kind of a weak point in the rind. So
yeah.
Try to, if we're expecting hot weather, try to give them a little bit more water sooner and try to keep, even out the soil moisture. And that should solve the problem.
Yeah, that's I lost a lot of oranges there. The other thing is, I know you guys have classes on pruning, you know, especially fruit trees and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What are those classes? And why is it when I pruned some of these trees, and then the next year they don't produce? Is that because I screwed up?
Probably. Oh, wait. We'll let Mark call you out for that. You know, I was over visiting a neighbor. He's got a gorgeous orchard, all the trees he got from me, and it looks fantastic because he goes out there and trims all the time, and he's been pruning them for years, forming these beautiful trees. But he hasn't gotten fruit off of his pear tree at all. And the reason is because he didn't know what he was doing when he was pruning, and he was pruning off all the little fruiting wood. And so knowing what you're pruning and why. Is there a book you can get on that, Ken?
We do have the How to Prune Fruit Trees and Roses book. Yeah,
that's a perfect book for that. Yeah. Knowing where they fruit and what to remove and what not to remove is kind of important before you do it. And that book will make a huge difference in helping you get fruit off all your trees every year.
And as far as the classes are concerned, we have been working on that, trying to come up with a way of doing it safely, doing them safely with the current situation that we're in. We still have not fully vetted that whole thing out, but as soon as we possibly can, we will do that. We're also thinking about trying to record some classes and put them up as a podcast so people can watch them and see.
I've done a few of the trees, and it's been a disaster. And the also thing is, I got some, not a lot, maybe six grape, been in there about, 20 years, the grape things. Mm-hmm. What kind of fertilizer? I drive through some of the wineries, and they put down this, it looks like lime. It's some white stuff they're putting down. Is that a fertilizer, or is that? What are they doing? And when's the best time to fertilize the grapes?
I would say probably start fertilizing around in the springtime, end of February, early March. I would just use the Grow Power, probably citrus and avocado food would be fine.
That's right. Yeah, I was going to stop and talk to these guys, but I don't know if it's just to keep down the weeds or something, but. They don't put lime down, do you? Or
typically
not.
That
in, stuff, yeah, not in California.
Gypsum maybe, but lime no. You typically don't need to. Lime is something that you do on the East Coast. Yeah. That's not a West Coast thing. So I'm not sure what they're putting down. Could be just ashes out of their fireplace. Who knows?
Yeah. All right, man. Thanks. Always listening and appreciate the show.
Well, thank you very much, Larry. Appreciate you getting up early and listening to us.
You bet.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. Speaking of lime, which would go along with lime sulfur, which isn't available anymore, but now's the time to dormant spray roses and fruit trees if you have not done that yet. Even if they're not dormant, if you spray now, they will be.
Exactly.
But instead of the lime sulfur spray, it's a copper spray is what you use now. And I was talking to a lady yesterday, and she was saying that she had a lot of peach leaf curl. And I said, well, copper spray is what you want to use. She said, well, I've used copper spray, but it hasn't worked. Is there anything else? And I said, well, yeah, there's lime sulfur, but you can't get it anymore. But I said, the other thing you need to do is you need to rake up all the foliage that's on the ground underneath the tree after it goes dormant. She goes, she goes, really? And I was like, yeah, because I said that's where
the spores.
That's where all the spores are. And then when it rains, it bounces back up onto the tree again. So she was not aware of that fact that it's
and she was spraying after the trees had, or in the winter time, not when, because some people spray during the course of having the peach leaf curl and they're expecting it to get better, and that's not going to happen.
It's not going to do it,
right?
No,
But last year, even those who did spray diligently, we had so
including
many.
Myself.
There was a lot.
There was a lot of
last
leaf curls.
Last year was a bad year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Then the wetter it is, the more of an issue it will be. So, unfortunately, this might not be you might get better success with your sprays this year than in past because it's been a little on the dry side.
But you know, even if you spray and you do get a little bit, typically once those rains pass, the new growth comes out clean.
Grows right through it. Yes.
Yeah. But you're not going to get it under control if you don't spray.
Right.
That is correct.
So
now is an excellent time to do that.
That is why in my cupboard, in my garage,
right now,
I have copper.
I don't. Well, I only have one fruit tree.
Well,
so.
I don't have any fruit trees, so I don't have it. But
hey, David, I have some as well. So
okay.
We'll be spraying.
But so what's
soon.
The next step? What is the...
So
I get
you,
it. I go to the nursery.
I'll tell you the difference. Here's
then
the difference.
I take
so
it home.
I go to the nursery. I purchase it. I bring it home. We put it on the shelf. And then I actually go out and use it.
So you
very
take it off the shelf.
Mix it according to the instructions. And I actually apply it to the trees.
That's the
way to make it work.
Oh.
Yeah.
You don't show the bottle to the trees?
And I do. I drive up the driveway. Look what I got you guys. And girls. And trees. I do. But there's more to it than that, huh?
Just a touch.
Well.
And speaking of fruit trees, bare root season is just around the corner. We've actually they're not really bare root, but the sleeved bare rooted
right.
trees and
potted bare roots.
Potted bare roots are in. Tons of blueberries, all kinds of stuff.
And figs.
Blueberries,
figs, pomegranates,
caneberries,
grapes, all kinds of stuff is available right now. So now is a great time to pick that stuff up. If you want to see everything that we have coming up, if you go to our website, the fruit tree list for this season is posted up there, so you can see what both stores are going to be getting. And if there's something that you want in San Diego that they don't stock, or vice versa, we can always transfer stuff back and forth.
That is correct.
And yesterday, mm-hmm. as a harbinger of the next season that's beginning very soon, we got in a truck and a trailer
of soil.
Of sun-grow soil.
Okay,
we'll start sending some down
right.
to you.
Okay. You know, so roses will be here.
Roses, yeah. David, you know, when you take that stuff and leave it on the shelf, Milton Friedman, the economist, said something. He said one of the great mistakes is to judge policies and programs by their intentions rather than their results. So if you're not getting the results, you gotta get past those intentions. But
I wanted it
to work.
Yeah, I hear noise in the background. And music, not noise. Sorry.
It's break time.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We'll be back with more Garden Talk right here on KCBQ and KPRZ right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but all right,
and we're back with more Garden Talk here on KPRZ and KCBQ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
What were George and I fighting about right before we went into the break?
I don't remember.
Oh, intent.
Intent, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Milton Friedman quote,
okay.
Right?
If you want
rather
to give,
than results.
There you go. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to head up to San Marcos where Carol is waiting. Good morning, Carol. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for being there.
Oh, we're happy to be here. What can we do for you?
I planted an asparagus bed this last spring.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a special way to handle it, but I haven't been able to find any instructions for doing it here in Southern California. The last asparagus bed I had was in Ohio, but here it's a totally different game.
I'm not sure what you mean by that, but usually you plant the roots in a trench, And then as right. as the plants grow, you fill up with light mulchy soil over the top of them. And they right. usually take about 3 years to fruit. So depending on right. what size or age roots you put in, that'll tell you how long you have to be nice to them until you can start harvesting.
Right now I have ferns.
Okay, that's right, good. That, yeah. That's good. That's what that is photosynthesizing.
Producing energy that's
producing
going
energy
into the roots.
For the roots right. for next year's okay. growth. So just leave them on until they're ugly or brown and feed them yeah. while they're green to re-energize okay. the roots.
Okay. They're just now starting to turn brown, so right. no more feed or anything like that?
No, if they're done or dunning because of the season, just leave them now, and then next year you should be getting larger spears. What's the approximate diameter of what the ferny bases are? Are they pencil yet, or are they smaller than that?
They're just about pencil.
Okay, so maybe next year you'll get some edible spears, but if not, one more season.
Yeah, you can start harvesting them at the, you know, a pinky size, and you can continue harvesting till the next sets start coming up thinner, and then you stop and let them do the same thing with the ferns so they can rejuvenate.
Okay, so I don't cut this fern stuff back.
No, that's what's making the roots larger and giving you bigger spears next year.
Got it. Okay, thanks a bunch, and thanks again for being there.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate the call. Have a great weekend.
Yep. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Take care.
I just remembered a couple of weeks ago, Pam called, the lady who used to work with my father. And
the nurse,
I told
yeah.
and I told her I was going to call her. And I did not. So somebody remind me this week to call her.
Piece of cake. I got that.
Okay, thank you.
Either of you guys grow asparagus?
No. I do not. No.
I like it. It's a bed that will last, you know, years and years. So you have to put it in the right spot.
No.
Because it's one of the few perennials.
No, it'll
perennial
last,
vegetables.
It'll last until the raised straw bale planter gets eaten by the worms
in
the bed.
Oh, yeah, well, that's your garden. So the rest of the world.
But it was a great worm bin.
Yeah.
But it only lasted 2 years.
Right.
What, the asparagus?
Well, I'd gone out to City Farmers mm-hmm. and saw Bill Tall, and he had a straw bale planters, and not planting in the bales, but using the bales as a frame.
Oh, okay.
Putting the asparagus crowns in there and then covering them with mulchy mm-hmm. soil. And they did great for about a year and a half. And then the straw was being eaten by the worms, and it kind of imploded on itself. The natural breakdown from the moisture in the soil plus the worms eating them, my raised bed didn't last very long.
We've mentioned this in the past. If you put some straw down, you will...
It's a worm bed.
It works really well to attract worms, or at least to increase the populations of the worms that are there. It
yes.
works very well. So we have that in all of the aisles of the garden.
Ken is looking fascinated by that story. He looks very excited. Would you like us to expand upon that, Mr.
No,
Anderson?
No, that's okay. But, you know, this is what, the second year that we haven't had
3 year, 2 to 3 year, or 2 year roots.
Yeah.
Yes. 2 year crowns or whatever it is. We used to sell quite a few.
Yeah, we
no,
did.
No, they were enormous.
They were
gorgeous.
They were huge.
Yes.
Yeah. Now is it seedlings that we've been?
I think so. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
That Tom's been growing.
The crowns that we used to sell cost us more than what we used to sell them for, so we stopped getting them in. And so we have the younger.
So we made it up in volume.
Yeah, something like that. You can do it. It'll work. It'll pencil out.
Noodle out.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go up to Carlsbad where Austin is waiting. Good morning, Austin. How are you?
Thank you. Anyway, I wondered what you'd done about hunting down my magic red-flowered oleander-type plant from 2 years ago. I said those pictures.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm guessing...
I figured just as much. You said you'd never quit looking, but I just figure, you know, that's what you tell everybody.
Well, usually we don't tell people we never quit looking. We usually tell people that after 30 days we will drop you unless you keep calling. We can get you a red oleander. Would you like what size red oleander do you want? The compact one or the big one?
Nope. It was a very magic plant, probably from South America. and it was a very small plant. I sent you a bunch of pictures of it, and it was, I don't know, it started out with very thin flowers. It just showed up someplace in the yard after taking out a giant fir tree. Sunlight fell on it. It ended up, I don't know how, it showed up just in a wall, right behind a wall. Never been there before, never seen it. It's never grown there since. I put it in pots, and it used to have a flower about an inch in diameter that was maroon and tan. And at that point, it formed seeds. And I repotted them. They went into a bit of better soil, and the flowers turned a brilliant red.
Well,
the
good
foliage
news
turned a bright green, and then they all died.
The good news is I kind of now remember getting some pictures a year or two ago of a kind of a succulent-looking plant with the red flowers in the pots. That might be your plant. I don't know that we ever identified it as what it was, but we did have somebody yesterday that was looking for a red gardenia that we hadn't seen, and I thought maybe that's where you were headed with it. But if you know the name of the red oleander from South America and want to give us another shot, email us the name of it, and we'll see if we can get it. Whenever we get the special orders, we take special orders for whatever people are looking for. That doesn't unfortunately always mean we'll be able to source them. And so we get what we can. We deal with a lot of suppliers on a constant basis. We've been with a lot of suppliers for a long time, so we usually have inventory when sometimes other people don't. But
I sort of get the picture. You're asking me to identify the flower. I ask you the identity of.
Yes. Because if it is the email, the picture that I remember, I don't think we were able to identify it.
Yeah.
And so we weren't able to get them. But we could, I guess, do a vegetative cutting. You could air layer it and start new plants that way. So sorry we didn't identify it.
You said they're all dead now?
Yeah.
Okay. I wonder how that happened. It just popped up.
They just decided they didn't want to live anymore.
That's so
sad.
That's
interesting, yeah.
Sorry about that. Maybe they were brought in by birds from South America on their migration.
Austin, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number.
I guess he figured if you're going to call me that, he can too. No, I was talking to Mark.
Oh, okay. David Austin update.
The David Austin Rose has, as of yesterday, we still have no availability. I emailed her again this week, and she said, I'm going to have two conferences later in the week, and I should have an answer for you. And I emailed her to find out how they went, and I did not get a response. And normally she responds very quickly. So I'm guessing we're not going to get them, but I still don't know.
That's
because they haven't confirmed
anything.
Well,
you would think at this point, since we're only, 2 weeks out?
Yeah, yes. We would have.
Right.
Usually we get them a little later, though. I mean, a little bit later, but yeah, you'd think we'd know by now.
Well, my guess is
we're not.
They just don't have the courage
to tell people no.
To tell people no, so they're just going to keep delaying it until they don't show up. But, I mean, I understand it. If they have significant worldwide demand, they're going to sell them where they can get the most money for them, and to heck with wherever else. I'm guessing, and it's pure speculation, but why at this point in December, when normally they would confirm orders in June and July, do they just keep saying mañana? And I don't get it. So there's a very good likelihood that we won't have them, but we still don't know because they don't tell us.
Yeah.
But we'll be getting thousands
of other
roses.
Yeah. The David Austin roses are really a very small percentage of the roses.
It's a fraction, but there are people that
we
are
sell.
Big
that's all they
fans,
want to grow,
and that's what
yeah.
they want. But we'll have lots of others. And there's other old-fashioned type roses. There's new old fashions and the romanticas, which we will have, that should make a proper substitute.
I'm not a big David Austin fan. There's a mango over there.
You don't even know him.
I was gonna say, he sounds like a nice guy, but yeah. I'm just kidding.
It's the mango of roses.
Yeah. No, yeah. It is not. Now, hang on.
Are there
hang
some
on.
Very beautiful David Austin roses.
They are, but the plants themselves just...
Now, hold on. You know what? This spring, you guys are going to have to go with me where to see the...
Barona.
Barona has that whole wing of their rose garden, the whole north wing, is all David Austin roses. And when they're in bloom, it's spectacular.
Well, the flowers are pretty, but the plants look like crap.
Well, they're bigger plants, and they need more space in most situations.
They're rambling, yes. Just kind of...
They do ramble a little bit more, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, kind of like yeah. Us sometimes.
And I guess if you like that kind of cabbage-like...
In the
flower.
Right
flower,
they're not.
They are fragrant. Yeah. Most of them are incredibly fragrant. I will give you that. But
and if you have not been,
so if you're blind, it's a
the scented
big
portion of it. Yeah. If you have not been to the Rose Garden at the Barona,
that's what you've
Indian
said.
Indian reservation. Not, it is really
I've never
neat.
Been to Barona.
I'm guessing they don't look like much right now because they're being cut back and it's cold. Mm-hmm. But I think it was March, April, May. I'll have to look at my pictures and see. And I'm guessing when you do that, it's not my neck you're talking about snapping, but taking a break.
It's time to take all right. Time to take a break. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same, but it's all right now.
And we're back.
Learned my lesson well.
With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. Yeah, we were talking about pruning. It's not only time to prune fruit trees, but also time to prune roses if you haven't started doing that yet. And what do you do when you prune roses this time of the year?
The same thing you do to fruit trees. You spray them.
Ada Perry's.
Yep.
Oh, that's January. Our note says January for Ada Perry's.
Well,
you can do it December.
I say winter pruning myself. But.
Yes. It's a violation of federal law to use this
we
product inconsistent
January.
With the instructions. And it's the label.
However, this brings me to you. And how many more days, George?
What is today? The 5th? So we have 16 days.
Until?
Until it starts getting more daylight. We have more daylight in our days.
More lighter?
More. It gets much more lighter
later.
Lighter-ish.
More lighter later? Yeah. So I like to wait until the days are getting longer before I trim. I wait till after the first of the year. I know a lot of people don't.
I usually do January.
I'm a January trimmer. Right. And when you read the books on trimming, they always say to wait, I think it's somewhere between 2 and 4 weeks between trimming and feeding.
But Ada Perry's isn't really a fertilizer.
Well, I just think that's so ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous to even, you're dressed for the part, you're working in the yard, you're trimming your roses, then get the heck out there and feed them at the same time.
Just do it all.
And supplement. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yes.
Correct.
Give them the Ada Perry's, do your trimming. Do your spraying, your dormant spray, and then give them Ada Perry's and Grow Power and start the whole process again. And that's why I like to wait till the days are getting longer because the roses are more inclined to start growing more better at that point, in my opinion.
I agree.
George agrees,
I
so that settles
I'm
it.
A January guy as well. You know, okay. I attended a class at the nursery years ago, and the lady that taught it specifically said, you want to get all your roses pruned, think of February 14th, you know, is Big Rose Day, you know, Valentine's Day. You want everything done before Valentine's Day. And she suggested starting in January so you'd get it all done.
I usually, when I had roses, when I used to prune. prune them. I would typically start at the end of November, early December.
I'll tell you, with microclimates, when I used to do those in PQ, they would. If I started doing them now, I would have flowers.
Flowers for Valentine's Day.
I would have flowers for my birthday in January. They just start blooming again.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do it wrong either way.
No.
No, no.
They're acceptable. In my head, it is the growth is going to be more vigorous if it is a little bit warmer, a little bit longer days, and that's why I like to wait. And it's not just because I'm lazy and just pushing it off until mañana. I mean, that is one reason that somebody could accuse me of or suggest. But
well, if you're going to be out there, do it.
And do it all. And
yeah, that's what I agree with you wholeheartedly.
The feeding part, it's so stupid to tell people not to do that, in my opinion. Can I say stupid?
You did.
And we heard it. I heard it.
But, yeah, If you're out there and you can get it done, you're more likely to get it done than you are to
wait.
Go back and remember to go back and do it again some other time.
Like the spray in the shelf in the cupboard in the garage. Same thing.
You know,
same principle.
Circling back to David Austin Roses for one second.
Circle back.
I think they're very fragrant, and I think the rose itself is very pretty. But I think I agree a little with Ken on they can get a little
you
out of hand.
You have to have the proper space for them.
And Brent, my son Brent, bought one for his girlfriend. He bought an Olivia rose. Her name is Olivia.
And
it's a gorgeous rose, and it's just very, very fragrant. I like it.
Oh, today it'll be George calling you out on air, Ken, not David.
Oh, no, I wasn't calling him out.
I want that noted for the record.
He agreed exactly.
What do we always say? In matters of taste, there can be no dispute, so... like a particular rose.
No, I thought you were going to say in matters of taste, Dave has none. But anyway,
that goes without saying.
Also on the internet.
Anybody that knows you.
I don't have that blue wall. Stop it.
Good point.
We're going to have a field trip
to Barona
this spring.
And I'd be a fan.
You can see
I'll go with you. No reason.
while we're there. Yeah. Yes, you can go in and gamble while we're there, Mark. Anyway, it is gorgeous. David is the guy that takes care of the roses, not me. And he does an excellent job out there. And every time I go out there, he offers me a bottle of water. And not because I'm me, but because if you go out there, they will offer you a bottle of water and you can wander the rose garden.
How many roses do they have, do you think?
It's a few hundred, but I don't know exactly how many hundreds.
The Rose Garden Balboa Park is pretty spectacular.
It is.
Too.
Which, by the way, is in bloom right now still. Seven Bridges walk 2 weeks ago, and the roses are still just spectacular.
Yeah, we did that. We did that last year. That's a fun walk. Unless you have a crippling fear of heights like I do, and the suspension bridge just doesn't work.
Yeah.
You did the Five Bridges walk,
yeah.
Right?
We cut it a little short.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd rather walk through the canyon than...
Then the suspension
bridge. Yeah,
but if you walk through the canyon, you've got to go down, and then you've got to go back up to get out of it, Mark.
That
would be a problem.
It's not like it's the Grand Canyon.
None of them were high bridges. I mean, they were.
Well, that's relative.
High anxiety.
Yes.
Yeah, the one suspension bridge. Yeah.
Well, we ended up, we circled back. We started right near the Rose Garden, so came back around, and when that was the end of the hike, and it was gorgeous. Everything was in bloom, still very fragrant.
Right, so
I highly recommend that. I highly recommend that walk. And you can find it online. Just look up the Seven Bridges walk in Balboa Park, and
you don't have to walk that far nor go across bridges that high to go to the
Barona
Memorial Garden, or not Memorial Garden. The Rose Garden in Barona.
Well, that's good because that'll be very beneficial for me.
Yes. So keep his feet on the ground.
Yeah. And there's a parking garage on the other, right behind it, Mark. And you could stay. You can park on the lower levels so that you don't get scared.
Okay. Thank
okay.
you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm here for you. But we talked about the David Austin's being beautiful in that northern end of the Rose Garden is all David Austin roses. But the other two-thirds of it are just typical and traditional roses, and they look spectacular when they're in bloom, too. And
the gentleman that does the roses, David, came and taught a class at our nursery.
With you?
We did it together, yes. Very nice man.
And it always makes me chuckle and smile when he asks me for my opinion on his rose garden. Well, he's got hundreds of roses there that look fantastic.
And he's asking you?
Yeah. He's
nice.
It's just a courtesy.
Yes. Thank you.
Professional courtesy.
Yeah, he's not gonna actually listen to what you say, but he's just curious.
But he does show interest in what I'm saying.
Unlike the rest of us.
The battle with you.
Man, you guys are brutal this morning.
Well, you know. 35 years.
So if you want to start pruning your roses now, you may. If you would like to wait until mid to late January or early January, you may, because we're going to allow all of this. We're giving you great latitude on the trimmings of your rose garden, but we do encourage you to trim your rose garden, because you will get more beautiful, bountiful blooms. They're just going to be longer stems, bigger flowers if they get cut back. A lot of people don't want to cut them back, and they just let them keep getting bigger and bigger, but the flowers, while more plentiful, sometimes are
smaller on shorter
stems.
Right.
So, and then definitely we want to do the Ada Perrys regardless of the month.
Regardless of the instructions.
And the grow power.
Forget the instructions. Just do it. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. Have a great weekend, everybody. Auto Talk is up next. We'll be back next week with another hour of Garden Talk right here.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.